This afternoon, we'll be looking at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, our text is going to be verses 1 and 2. So please turn there in your copy of God's Word. Isaiah 40 can be found on page 873 in the Pew Bible. For the sake of context, we'll actually begin reading on page 872 in verse 6 of chapter 39. And we'll read down unto verse 5 of chapter 40. If you're able, I invite you to please stand at the reading of God's Word. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and all that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord, and of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, they shall take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Thus is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. In chapter 39, we heard a pronouncement of God's judgment against his people. Judgment is coming in the form of the Babylonian captivity. He is sending the king of Babylon to execute judgment upon his people. But the Lord, in his kindness, as soon as this judgment is pronounced, there's also a prophecy of Christ and his coming, which brings comfort unto his people. And this is what our text is showing us this afternoon. Isaiah chapter 40 is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the beginning of the gospel dispensation with the preaching of John the Baptist is foretold in verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Why? Verse 5. Because the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. The glory of the Lord being the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the brightness of his glory, who came down and tabernacled among us. And through his coming, there is great comfort offered to the people of God, the sinful people of God, who throughout their whole history were a stiff-necked and hard-hearted people, provoking the Lord time and time again, until there was no remedy, it seemed, and then he sent his judgments. And it's in this context where we have these comforts from Christ offered to us. And so as we come to consider these comforts, let's consider why, first of all, these comforts are necessary. It is because judgment must begin at the household of God. This is what we read in 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You see, to be part of the visible people of God is to be blessed with great outward privileges. You have the covenants, the worship of God, the scriptures given unto you, the sign and seal of his ownership in the baptism or in the circumcision under the Old Testament. And to whom much is given, much is required. If you know the history of the people of old, at all times, they always went astray in their hearts. They set up idols. They committed fornication. They worshiped other gods. And as much as we would like to say, oh, those silly Jews in the Old Testament, you and I both know that we likewise go astray like sheep. And for this, because the Lord has stamped this people with the seal of his ownership, he will not simply let them alone, but rather he will chasten them and bring judgment upon them so that the people as a corporate body will be cleansed. He will never cast his people as a whole away, but the individuals within it are not all necessarily his own. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel physically. Neither are we all the church, who are merely members of the church visibly. And so, therefore, judgment comes. And just as under the Old Testament, there is a culmination in the history of Judah of sins, of idolatry, that continued to provoke the Lord, even in the days of Hezekiah, who for the most part did that was right, that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But in chapter 39, we see him inviting the king of Babylon and to see the precious things that belong to the house of the Lord. And for this, God brought him into account. And he pronounced the judgment that would come upon Judah because of this sin. And yet, he deferred it because he did love Hezekiah. It wouldn't come in his days, but in the days of his sons. And his sons continued to provoke the Lord. Although Isaiah did that was right in his sight, many of his descendants did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Until finally, King Zedekiah had been brought under subjection by the king of Babylon. And he made Zedekiah swear in the name of the Lord to remain under subjection to him. But Zedekiah, in his arrogance, refused to be subject to this king of Babylon. I'm the chosen. I'm a son of David. He's not going to prosper against me. But the Lord held him to that oath that was sworn in his name. And because Zedekiah refused to submit himself to the king of Babylon, which was the just judgment of God, there was a harsh punishment from the Lord for this thing. Zedekiah, who was king and had many sons, the king of Babylon took his sons, brought them before King Zedekiah, slew them before his eyes, and then plucked Zedekiah's eyes out. So the last thing that he would see was the murder of his own sons, and then he took them away captive to Babylon. And then Judah was taken away captive into Babylon. And this thing that we read in chapter 39, that the sons of the king would be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon, this is what we read in Daniel. That Daniel and his friends, they were eunuchs. They were castrated and made servants of the king of Babylon so that no seed would proceed from them. Harsh judgment was brought upon the house of Judah. And they continued in that land as captives for 70 long years. And they wept by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion and how they longed for the worship of God in their own city in Jerusalem, once again to have the temple and the privileges that were taken away from them. And after they had continued in this judgment for 70 years, feeling the weight of what had come upon them, how they had lost the precious privileges given unto them by the as the people of God. Then comes this word of comfort. I hear you. I see you, my people. Yes, your sins brought this judgment upon you. You deserved it. But I will not deal with you according to your sins. And then here comes this beautiful prophecy of Christ coming in the flesh. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. You know what they say about the Old Testament? Oh, the God of the Old Testament, he's a harsh God. He's mean, he's cruel, he's all this blood, all these bloody sacrifices. He said to go and slaughter all the Canaanites. There's nothing but judgment here. Well, even the judgment that is in the Old Testament scriptures, well, there's harsher judgment that's in the New Testament. But even the judgments that are in the Old Testament scriptures, they are not even corresponding to what our sins deserve. And yet in the midst of that, he sends his comfort. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. This is directed at gospel preachers. This is why immediately it goes into a prophecy of the coming of John the Baptist, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, and also by extension, all gospel preachers that come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, go and preach comforts from Christ. There is a way to be freed from judgment, even judgment that you brought upon your own self by your sins. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Yes, this people that had brought the judgment of God upon them, judgment must begin at the house of God, and therefore judgment came upon them. Yet the Lord did not leave them there. He remembered that they were but flesh. And he kept his covenant promises for his own name's sake, though they did not deserve it. And therefore he sent Jesus Christ in the flesh. He who is the brightness of the Father's glory. He came into the earth and was revealed. And all flesh shall see it. That's what we read in Luke as well, that the salvation of the Lord is revealed and all flesh shall behold it. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came indeed to be a comforter unto the people of God. That though they are a stiff-necked, wayward, hard-hearted people, just as we are, yet through Christ's work on the cross, their iniquity is pardoned. And we see then that the preaching of the gospel is a preaching of comfort. Yes, there is rebuke for sin. Yes, there is a time to unsheathe this word of God, a sharp two-edged sword, and pierce you in the heart with it, so that you might mourn for your sin. But for those that mourn with this gospel mourning, he says, blessed are ye. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That mourning, it is not just the mourning of the world that they're wallowing in their depression for whatever it might be, but those that have felt the weight of their sin, that have felt the horror of being estranged from God and being under his wrath and condemnation, those being brought low, those having that mourning as one that mourns for a Christ crucified, they shall have comfort from Christ. And so the Lord commands, comfort ye. You preachers, you prophets, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. I want you to think about the turmoil of this people after the Babylonian captivity. Once they boasted, we are the people of God. We have the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark that struck down the gods of the nations and made them run in fear. We have the sacraments. We have the Passover. We have Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. We are the Jews. We have the circumcision. We are set apart. We are the apple of Jehovah's eye. And how prideful they could walk. And indeed, they were a greatly privileged people. But now, having been brought low, having been humbled, they are ready to receive the comfort of the gospel. It is necessary for there to be a humbling. You see, there can be those in the church, and there are those in the church that have knowledge but have not yet been humbled. And these are they that will hear the preaching of the word time and time again and will be sit there and just be hardened and hardened more and more by it, because they have not yet been brought to a place where they are low, where they come, they realize that they are a beggar and they must come to Christ as a beggar. This is what we see in the parable of the prodigal son. How he had lived this life of privilege, grown up in the church, a Jew of Jews, a wealthy father. And so when he went out into the world and spent all of his living on harlots, and he found himself in a pigsty, then he was brought low. And being brought low, he was able to see what had been offered unto him time and time again in the synagogue, as he heard Christ preached and set forth under the types and shadows of that worship. And so we see then that how it is necessary for us to be brought low, for us to be humbled, so that we can be comforted. And so this comfort of Christ comes. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Indeed, the Lord will bring a reckoning for sin. He will purge his house of sin. But he will bring comforts when that is when the time is at the appointed time. Isaiah 54, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. You see, this people had come into the land of promise thinking we are going to be an abundant people, like a wife who bears many children, but they found themselves desolate because of their sins. But there was comfort for them, because verse 5, for thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies shall I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Now, when you look at the horrors of the judgment that came upon Israel, and you say, that was a little wrath? The things that happened in that siege of Judah and Jerusalem were horrific. The king of Babylon came with great cruelty. He did not spare women or children or old men or young men. As a result of that siege, they were left in such desolation that women began to be in such a place of hunger and starvation that they ate their own children's flesh to survive. Imagine being in such a desperate state of mind that you eat your own children's flesh. That's the horror that had came upon the people. And you say, that's a little wrath. Well, in comparison to the great mercies that he has, yes. And so great is the mercy that the Lord has for his people, though he indeed brings judgment upon them. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. This is the comfort of the gospel. That although your sins may bring chastisements upon you, that when the Lord offers you his forgiveness and reconciliation, it says that he is one that upbraideth not. He will not be angry when you come to him, and he will not rebuke you. You see, we in our flesh, what do we like to do when someone doesn't listen to our advice and brings troubles in their life? I told you so. We upbraid them. We rebuke them. Or maybe we're even angry with them, but not so with the Lord. His kindness is so great that he has sworn in the covenant of grace, ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ, that I will not be angry with you nor rebuke you. You know how scared you can be to confess your faults to your spouse, to your parents, to your elders, because they're going to be mad at me. And what are they going to do? They can't send your soul to hell. But this one, this almighty God who has almighty power to punish sin, invites you to come unto him, receive pardon and forgiveness and reconciliation, and there will be no anger and no rebuking for your sins. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. This covenant of grace, it's a covenant of peace, so that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, being justified by faith. And therefore we have comfort. And this gospel peace is not just an absence of judgment, not just the absence of enmity, but it's being brought into sweet communion and friendship and fellowship with God, so that we partake of all of the riches of his joy, all of the riches of being in communion with him. This is what is offered unto us. Isaiah 52:9, break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Comfort to the people of God. Because the Lord, in sending forth Jesus Christ, his Son, has put on display the mighty power of his right hand to save. He only is mighty to save. And now this gospel goes forth into all nations. So the eyes of all nations will see and behold the salvation of our God. And even as we heard earlier, that these nations will come in droves unto him, saying, let's go unto the mountain of the house of the Lord and be instructed in his ways. And they will subscribe unto him in a covenant, swearing an oath to be his people. Even the nations that were enemies of the people of God of old, Egypt and Assyria, they will vow a vow unto the Lord and be his people. Isaiah 19. And so we see that this gospel comfort makes it such that even the most heinous enemies of God can come unto him, be reconciled unto him, and be his people. He has made a marriage covenant that he will not break with his people. For the Lord, thy maker is thine husband, and therefore he, just as we see beautifully demonstrated, illustrated in the book of Hosea, that though Hosea had married this whorish woman that always went astray, playing the harlot against her husband, nevertheless the Lord, in his mercy, continually draws her back and back and woos her with his kindness. The preaching of the law ought to horrify the conscience and bring a terror into your soul for the judgments of sin. But the preaching of the kindness of God in the gospel ought to so woo your heart, ought to so persuade your soul through the kindness of God that you are led unto repentance. Yes, we can all be convicted of our sins and feel a tinge of that terror of conscience, even have a worldly sorrow over our sins that won't lead us unto life, but lead us unto death. But we ought to be persuaded all the more by the kindness of God that is put on display in the gospel. To be persuaded, to be wooed by Christ, as a man woos his wife. To forsake sin in order that his love, his presence, his comforts might be enjoyed. And this is the preaching of the gospel that goes forth, beginning with John the Baptist, the greatest of the prophets. All these prophets, they had preached of Christ under types and shadows as to come. But this one prophet was able to actually point and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He got to see that which these other prophets could only daydream of with his own eyes. And so there was comfort to publicans, to sinners, to harlots, to hypocrites. And the hearts of the people of Israel at that time with John the Baptist began to be turned unto the Lord as they came to hear the preaching of John in droves. And indeed, the way of the Lord was prepared by that gospel preaching. And that gospel preaching is then committed unto the ministers of the New Testament. Unto them is committed the ministry of reconciliation, so that they go forth and they beseech you, they grab you by the shoulders and say, "I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you, be ye reconciled unto God." Be reconciled unto God. Receive this comfort. You know that you're a sinner. You know your secret sins better than anyone else. If fear of the law will not persuade you to forsake your sin, let the comfort of the gospel persuade you. And come. Come unto this crucified Savior who by his cursedness gives you comfort, who by his death offers you life. Come and turn while this comfort is yet being offered in the preaching of the gospel. Come and freely receive of him. Everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. Everyone that is burdened and heavy laden, come unto Christ and receive rest for your souls. Oh, hypocrite, aren't you tired of the weariness of soul that comes with being in the church and yet being in your sins? Aren't you tired of hearing the scriptures, hearing the preaching of the gospel, and feeling that conviction that comes with it? Knowing that although outwardly you look prim and proper and wholesome, knowing you're not right with God, and that terror, hearing the warning of the admonition, hearing horrifying scriptures that the righteous scarcely shall be saved, so what shall happen to the ungodly and the sinner? Aren't you tired? Well, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to receive these comforts from Christ. He forgives even the religious hypocrite, even the secret sinner in the church. You see, there are hindrances to coming to Christ truly. One of those is a spiritual pride, a shame, not being willing to confess sin because you've grown up in the church, because you've been admitted to the table already. And so there's a greater concern with keeping up appearances than being reconciled unto God. And there's a fear that if I come unto him, if I confess all that I've done, that I what I really am in my heart of hearts, then nothing good will come of it. But if you think like that, you make God a liar. Didn't you hear what he said? I have sworn that I will not be wroth with thee. I will not be angry with thee, nor rebuke thee if you come. And this sweet salvation is offered freely unto you. This is the comfort of the gospel. This is what has been poured forth in the grace of God by the death of Christ. Receive of this comfort. And when you do receive it, and you can have freedom in your conscience, freedom in your soul from sins, his name shall be called Jesus. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sins. There's a bondage to sin, yes, that brings condemnation, but that also you feel the bondage, the slavery of not being able to break free out of your sinful habits, especially when your mind is intellectually enlightened and you know what you're doing is wrong. There's a bondage there, but you can have freedom, comfort in Christ. And this is what is freely offered to you in the preaching of the gospel. A God who says, I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. This is the sweet promise of the covenant of grace. And I beseech you today to receive it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your great kindness and love towards us, your mercies towards us, which are far greater than the judgments even that you bring against our sins. Thank you for being so kind in offering comfort through Jesus Christ, for even putting away your wrath, for lavishing great love, far greater love even than the wrath that you hid your face in. We pray, O Lord, that indeed through this preaching of the gospel, that this comfort would be made a reality unto us, that we would each and every one of us experience it and walk in it, in the comfort of Christ. Do this work for his name's sake, we pray. Amen.
Amen.